welcome to another episode of Engineered Unicorns, the podcast about fantasy books that are fantastic. And I also have other books that are interesting and fantastic. But what a month! We have now April 1st, and March didn't go anything like what we've probably thought it would go. I thought I would go to Japan. My trip was cancelled, so I'm sorry, but I can't tell you about Jimbocho, the book town in Tokyo, anything more about other Japanese bookstores or something like this, unfortunately. However, let's focus on the good things.
Good morning. It's now the 11th of March, and I wanted to give you a short update on my reading and what I'm doing. I'm currently not in Japan because of the virus situation, and it looks at the moment as if Germany is going to go into lockdown maybe next week or something like this, because virus is spreading here quite extremely. But on the reading front, well, it's very windy, as you might hear. On the reading front, I'm finally over my reading slump. It's going really, really well in the book department, and I'm almost done with A Case Against Sugar, and the book is very interesting, different from what I thought, but it makes me really mad, and so I can only read about 5 to 10 pages every day, because I'm not happy about what I'm reading and how the sugar industry influenced our health to our detriment. Anyway, concerning my fantasy books, I've read one title that's a short one novella, which wasn't very good, or which I didn't like. So that won't be the recommendation, but I've decided better another book, and I'm really getting ahead of the game regarding The Missing of Claire de Lune, which is the second book of La Passe Miroir, The Mirror Wizards, and yeah, and other very interesting books. Can hardly wait for the next books to be released by T.J. Glune, which will be next week or something like this. So I'm excited for that one. Yeah, this is about it.
I found a lot of other books that are really, really interesting. When I first recorded the first episode of Engineered Unicorns, I had a TBR, to be read list, of 333 books, and now I have 360 books on my TBR, so it's a lot more. But I also read several books last month, so I got my TBR a bit down. And when I say TBR, it means it's on my list on my Goodreads account, but it doesn't mean that I have all the books here. But I do have quite a lot of books on my Kindle. I do have quite a lot of books at home, because before we went into lockdown in Karlsruhe or Germany, I used the relative quiet to buy 3 new books in physical format. And I also bought quite a lot of ebooks, because I knew the libraries would close and the bookstores would close, so I had that idea before and went book shopping.
Hi there. Another quick update. The problem with being a reader is that when you go to a bookstore in your lunch hour, you might actually find some stuff to read. And so did I actually went out just looking and I found three new books that I actually bought. I never heard of the authors and sometimes of the books before. So the first book that I found is The City in the Middle of the Night by Charlie Jane Endes. And the author, I haven't read anything from her, but the author was recommended by Mallory and Bria from the Reading Classes podcast for one of their challenges. So I picked this one up because it sounds interesting. It's a science fiction book. Then I picked up the new book of Natasha Pulley, Lost Future of Pepper Harrow. And I've read her first book, The Watchmaker of Filigree Street, which was lovely and very original. Definitely recommend her first book. And this is a sequel. And so I'm not sure if it's the same quality, but I think so. The third book that I picked up is actually a non-fiction book. And it's called Indestructible. Here's a point. How to Control Your Intention and Choose Your Life by Neil Eyal. I hope I've pronounced that right. It's someone who, he or she, I'm not sure, is a behavioral designer and reveals the hidden psychology driving you to distraction in case of your mobile phones and stuff like this. So this should be interesting. Not sure if it's the next non-fiction book ever I will read, but I think it's something I will read in the next few months. I think the next book is some book I picked up from the KIT library. So this is definitely on my TBR, but maybe not the next book, or maybe this, I don't know. Ciao!
And I was really lucky in regards to my libraries, because I knew the library shutdown would come, and I went on March 13th, actually. It was a Friday, the 13th. And I personally have the luck that Friday the 13th is always a lucky day for me. And I went on that day to my favorite library, the American Library in Karlsruhe, and got some books. And one day later, libraries were closed. So I did manage to get quite a few books. So in regards of my reading, I was quite lucky. And I also tried out audiobooks. Personally, I use them to fall asleep. So whenever people read or hear audiobooks, they usually do that while they do something other. I can't do that because I lose concentration when I do that and can't do the other stuff really well. And so I need to actually sit there and listen to take it in. And quite often I fall asleep because that's what I use to take them. Nevertheless, I think they are quite good, and especially for those people who can't see or have trouble with their eyes. It's quite good that we do have so many audiobooks these days. So that's definitely a plus. And because they are available via apps and electronically these days, you can still get them even though everything is shut down. So that's definitely a plus. Same goes for ebooks and stuff like that. However, yes, you need the money for it, and so it's probably not the option for quite a few. Having said that, I know that the Badische Landesbibliothek and also I think the public libraries of Karlsruhe have broadened their offer for ebooks and stuff like this so that you can use more of their catalogue online, which I think is quite a good thing. And same goes for KIT Library, that's also working for the Pedagogic University and for the University of Applied Sciences. They all are together. It's the same library system. So you can use that if you have already a library card, which you should have. Anyway, yeah, so my March was actually quite a lot quieter than I had planned. But as I said, I had more time to read and I got over my book slump, which is a good thing, because when I had read La Passe Miroir, the first book of the Mirror Visitors by Christelle Dabos, I had the book hangover and didn't get into books and was at a loss what to read. And I also had a problem with the book that I will recommend today, which is The Case Against Sugar by Gary Torps. It was really slow and there were quite a few days where I didn't read a bit of it, and normally I do read about 5 to 10 pages of a non-fiction book under the week, but during that reading slump I was almost completely out of the game. And the other books that I will recommend to you are Tsumiko and the Enslaved Fox and Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal by Forthright, and more on them later. Let's start with The Case Against Sugar by Gary Torps. Now, as I said, The Case Against Sugar by Gary Torps is a non-fiction book. It was published in 2017 and has about 282 or 384 pages. The lower number is because that's the pages of the actual writing, and if you take into it the index and the bibliography. So the bibliography, because this is a non-fiction book, is really long, almost 100 pages that I don't read, but that are nevertheless counted. And Gary Torps, if you don't know him, he's a journalist who specializes in nutrition. He already has published several books on nutrition facts. I do have an older book by him, Good Calories versus Bad Calories, from 2009 or 2007 or something like this. And anyway, this book, The Case Against Sugar, is much more up to date and was published in 2017. I got this book from the American Library, so you can get it there as soon as the American Library is again open. I highly recommend it, but be warned, it will take quite a bit of time to read this. I had the problem that I could only read 5 to 10 pages per day, per weekday, and I stopped reading it on Saturday and Sunday because it's a heavy subject, really a heavy subject. It made me quite mad when I read it. Mad at the world in general and mad at the sugar industry. So the book is a bit different, written from normal textbooks. It's built like a case, a law case. So Gary Torps starts out with the history of sugar and over these centuries, how we came to eat more of it, how it was produced, and what then changed in the nations that incorporated more sugar over the time into their diets. And it's quite interesting. And as Gary Torps says itself, it isn't really conclusive that sugar is bad for us. However, it's quite overwhelming evidence for it. It isn't 100% sure, but the probability is high that sugar is quite special in its way it is metabolized. So the metabolism of people is also described, and sugar in its usual form, and there are several forms of sugar, is quite interesting because part of the normal sugar is metabolized in the liver and another is metabolized in other parts of the body. And it's not just the calories that is working their influence on our metabolism, but it's also the way sugar is metabolized, but and also where it then travels in your body. So that's quite interesting. And as I've said before, when you read about it and what it does to our bodies and what it's over the time does to our bodies, you get quite mad and you know that you should better not eat any sugar, which is quite strenuous on your diet. And I had the weird thing that I was sometimes eating more sugar when I read this book. When I read it, there were days when I had quite a lot of chocolate. Though, in my defense, I only eat chocolate in a certain week of the month. So I know that sugar is actually also changing my hormonal balance. And since insulin, which is a hormone, is heavily influenced by sugar, it's only normal that there are certain consequences if you eat sugar. There was a story in the book which described how a baby of 1 year reacted when it ate the first time chocolate cake and didn't have chocolate and sugar before in its first year of life. And he was completely raptured. And sugar works differently in kids than it does in adults. That's also a thing that he described. And that's something that researchers found out. And then there's one passage which I want to read to you. It's quite at the end. It's on page 237. So here's the if-then hypothesis. If these Western diseases are associated with obesity, diabetes, insulin resistance, and metabolic syndrome, which many of them are, then whatever causes insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome is likely to be the necessary dietary trigger for these diseases, or at least a key player in the causal pathway. Because there is significant reason to believe that sugars, sucrose and high fructose corn syrup in particular, the nearly 50-50 combinations of glucose and fructose, are the dietary trigger of insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. It's quite likely they are a primary cause of all these Western diseases, including, as we'll discuss, cancer and Alzheimer's disease. Without these sugars in the diet, these chronic diseases would be relatively rare, if not, in some cases, virtually non-existent. So this book, in my opinion, makes quite a good case against sugar. I think it's a really important book, and if you are interested, you'll find it at the American Library or buy it at your local bookstore. It would be a good thing if you help small independent bookstores. We do have some in Karlsruhe, and from what I've seen, I think you can still order books there. So from the hard stuff like sugar, let's go to the nicer stuff. And something to escape the reality is much better, because there's only so much chocolate you can eat. And chocolate can help. I'm still eating chocolate, though I try to get the really dark stuff. Anyway, so what I want to recommend to you as an escape from reality, because I think we all need it these days with the coronavirus, are books from a writer, I think, who is from Japan or Japanese American. For Fright is the name of the writer, and she started out as a fan fiction writer, and she has created quite a special world. And in this world there are shifters, so essentially it's a shifter fantasy, but we have East Asian folklore in there, East Asian old stories mixed in together, and Forthright used those old stories to build quite an outstanding world. And her shifters are Emma Refines. The first book in her series is Tsumiku and the Enslaved Fox, but the book that I actually want to recommend is Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal. I found those books in 2018. You will not find it at the local bookstores, but you can order them on certain big book site in the internet, and the easiest way to get those books is actually get the ebook of them. Now, I first read Sumiko and the Enslaved Fox, and it's quite an interesting story. It follows Sumiko, which is a young woman, and she is an orphan, but has a smaller brother, Akira. And she is 20, and she's lived most of her life in a convent, in a certain Catholic school, where she also started teaching. And one day she finds out that she had an aunt, or great aunt, and she actually gets her estate because the aunt passed away. So she's an heiress. This estate, which consists of a big house in a beautiful landscape, and with the estate comes also a butler. And the butler is Argent. And the thing about Argent is that he is an amaranthine. And amaranthine are, or riven, are the shifters. And he is a fox with several tails. And the story follows Tsumiko, how she gets to know Argent and all those people who are kind of the family of Argent. And yeah, there's a story that develops between her and Argent, and it's quite interesting. I really, really loved it the first time I read it. I gave it 5 stars back then. I reread it last month for this episode of the Engineered Unicorn podcast, and I would give it now 4.5 stars, but it's still a really good book. And you need to read this book to actually have an easier time to understand Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal, which is the actual book that I want to recommend to you. Because Tsumiko and the Enslaved Fox is a shifter romance in its own right. It's quite good. However, the side characters are, in my opinion, not that fully fleshed out. I think you don't really learn that much about side characters like Michael and Sana, but it's nevertheless a really good story, and I quite like this one. And Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal is actually settled on the school where Akira, which is the younger brother of Tsumiko, is going. And Akira and his friend Zuzu were already part of Tsumiko and the Enslaved Fox. And even though you didn't really meet them, but only heard about them through text messages, I quite like them in this book. And in the second book, in Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal, they are main characters. Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal, on the surface, you think that this is just another shifter romance, but it isn't. It's much more a friendship book. There are a group of friends that you follow, and Akira and Zuzu are part of this group, and Kimiko is a girl. She's a reaver, and reavers are the people who are close to the Amaranthines and help them, like a special organization that help the Amaranthine. And Kimiko is part of this world, so she already knew about the Amaranthine sometime before Tsumiko started, actually 3 years before the story of Tsumiko started. They had an emergence where the Amaranthine, the shifters, became known to the world. So they came out of the closet, and the world had to grapple with the thing that there are werewolves, that there are werebears and foxes and phoenixes and horse shifters are there, and quite a lot of others. As I've said, it's a really special world, and I quite liked it. Ah, yes, the word I was looking for. It's a kitsune. It's the name of a fox in Japanese. So anyway, Kimiko is a reaver, and so she belongs to this group of people who already knew before the emergence about the Emerald Fine. And like with every organization or nation, there are people who are ranking high and people who are ranking low on their abilities. And Kimiko is special in her own right, but she is not a river who has a lot of power, if you want to say so. But she's an interesting character, and she's definitely a protagonist and girl who you wouldn't normally take for the love interest in these kind of shifter romances. She is quite androgyn, so she's got really short hair and, well, doesn't have curves. And because of her androgynous style and clothes that she's wearing, she's often mistaken for a boy, for a good-looking boy, which at the start of the book and of the story, she takes advantage of and is is quite, yeah, making fun of girls in a good-natured way because they are interested in her as a boy. Anyway, so she's definitely not your normal heroine of books like this, because usually when you've read enough shifter romances, you know that the heroine, the main character, is most of the time someone who's good looking and whatever, and she definitely doesn't fall in those categories. And the same goes for Eloquence. Eloquence is the male of this story. And the story is taking place at a school, at a high school. And Kimiko and Eloquence go to the same class. However, when they first meet, Eloquence doesn't even notice her. Just in general notices her, yes, classmate, whatever. But he's not falling for her or something like this. And she, however, is a speaker for the Reavers in the class. And this class, this school, is really special because it's the first school that has integrated Amaranthine Reavers, which are those in between. They're human, but they also know about the Amaranthine and help them. And then there are normal humans that didn't know before about the Amaranthine. And Kimiko becomes a speaker in the class for the Reavers, and Eloquence is just another part of this class. However, because of his father, who was one of the main leaders of the Emergence, he's quite well known. He is actually a dog. The funny thing is there are wolf shifters and dog shifters. And the thing is, he has a special position in his clan, in his dog clan, and because of this position, he is not allowed to initiate a relationship. However, there is the possibility if someone else, you know, wants to court him. And Kimiko, by accident, initiates this courting ritual. So that's the accidental proposal. And this is kind of a start to the whole story. And we follow this group of friends, this group of people in this class and in the school. And what I really liked is that this book is much more than just a shifter romance. It's quite innocent, and you get to know the characters, and especially the side characters. And so that's definitely 5 stars, and I'm currently rereading it, and I still stand by this. I reread it last year already, and I first read it in 2018, and I stand by it. It's definitely 5 stars. If you like shifter romances, if you like high school dramas, if you like fantasy that's kind of urban fantasy and contemporary fantasy, this isn't too dark. That's quite fun, where you have really well-developed characters, really well-developed relationships between boys and girls and all over the place, then this is definitely the book for you. So I highly recommend it. So these 3 books that I recommend for you today are The Case Against Sugar by Gary Torps as a non-fiction book, the Miko books by Forthright. Tsumiko and the Enslaved Fox is the first one. And Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal is the second one. And it's the one that I really, really like, that I really think you should definitely read. However, you should read Tsumiko before, because when I recommended it before to someone on Instagram, she did have some problems to get into it. And she started out with Kimiko because she got this first. And she then decided to wait for Tsumiko because some things of this world aren't explained that much in the Kimiko book, because Forthright, the writer, obviously thinks that you have read the book before. And since this is a quite unusual world, if you are from the Western world, I say from Europe or America, if you aren't that familiar with Asian folklore, then this might be a bit confusing. So start out with Tsumiko and the Enslaved Fox, and then Kimiko and the Accidental Proposals. And there's also a third book already in the series, which is called Tamiko and the Two Janitors. I haven't read it so far. I have the book, but I haven't been in the right mindset since last year. I might read it when I have finished Kimiko and the other books that I'm currently reading, because as I've said before, I'm always reading several books at the same time. One of the other books that I'm currently reading and that just came out is The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. And I think T.J. Clune and his books will be my recommendation for May. It just came out this month and it's contemporary fantasy, and T.J. Clune is quite funny and quite inclusive. Also, as an author, he has very funny characters. For instance, he has, in one of his series, he has a unicorn, which is gay. So, T.J. Clune, always a good recommendation. And another book that I'm currently listening to is The Faceless Old Woman Who Lives in Your Home, which is by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Cranor. And you might know those names, and you might be familiar with Faceless Old Woman Who Lives in Your Home, because it's a character from Welcome to Night Vale, which is a podcast which is well known and is a fictional podcast, and Night Vale is quite funny. I highly recommend this podcast if you like eerie and weird stuff, then this is the place to go. And they have already written 3 books, and this is actually the 3rd book, and it came out just last week, I think. So those are 2 books that just came out. So if you want to help those authors because of the coronavirus situation, or the book events had to be cancelled, and the Leipzig Book Fair, which is one of the major book fairs worldwide, was cancelled this year, which means that especially small publishing companies are under pressure because of this. And the last thing that I want to recommend to you is actually a magazine. It's a German magazine. It's made in Greifswald. And the magazine is called Katapult. Magazin für Eis, Kartografik und Sozialwissenschaft. Und Eis ist durchgestrichen. So, Catapult, a magazine for ice cream, maps and social studies. And ice cream is not anymore as it looks. And it's published 4 times in the year. The new issue just landed on my doorstep. I actually get it via my job. And it's really interesting because they show infographics about different topics. And I remember the last issue, they had quite interesting infographics about paper, how we use it, funnily enough, they had toilet paper was interesting to them. And considering that the last issue was January to March and the new one is April to June, they didn't know about the toilet paper hoarding, but it was definitely a topic and I highly recommend it. They don't do it for the money, and it's that they are doing it really to show what social studies are about and what you can learn from the data that they have. So this is today's episode. The recommended books were The Case Against Sugar by Gary Taubes, which is available via the American Library in Karlsruhe. The fantasy books are Tsumika and the Enslaved Fox and Kimiko and the Accidental Proposal by Forthright. From what I know, the books are not available via our library system in Karlsruhe. And the last thing that I want to recommend is the Catapult magazine. I don't have a clue if the libraries have it or not. In any case, it isn't that expensive, so I think you can get it. Yeah, so that's about this in April. I hope April goes a bit better than March, that you stay safe, that you do the social distancing, that you take care of yourself and your family and your loved ones and your friends. The next episode will come out in May. See you soon. Stay safe. Bye.